I imagine that you all read and listen to and watch the same news I do, so I don't have to tell you that there's a lot of hoopla, a lot of stress, and a lot of conflicted communication going on in the world today. Our own lives are no exception. We too can get caught up in the hoopla, stress, and miscommunication. So today I want to try to keep things really simple. The word from God this morning, which comes to us via a few sentences from Paul's correspondence with the Corinthians, is keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. The goal is for all of us to be in right relationship with God when our moment comes to enter eternity. Paul encourages us to keep our eyes on the goal and strive for it with every fiber of our being. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul uses the metaphor of athletics to make his point. He writes, "Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified." Paul uses this strong language to say that the Christian life requires discipline, focus, and hard practice. He warns of the risks of being distracted, tempted to try shortcuts, or unwilling to stick to the necessary training regimen. And he suggests that being welcomed into God's kingdom is the greatest goal toward which a person can strive. In ancient times, athletics was a big deal, just like it is today. Games took place not just at Olympus, but at Corinth and at other cities as well. Paul chooses to focus on the positive aspects of athletic challenge. The accomplishment and the thrill implied in racing well, or playing well, or fighting well and winning. He is not suggesting that in the Christian life only one person gets the prize. He's trying to convey that we're all striving for a prize that we won't get by being lazy, or by default, or by cheating. We have to live the life of a follower of Jesus, not just talk about it. Paul's language might sound like a little bit of an overkill to some people. A phrase like, "I punish my body and enslave it," may raise questions about where the line is between having high expectations of ourselves or abusing our bodies and denying ourselves the pleasures and joy of life. Rather than get caught in that debate, I prefer to hear Paul saying that accomplishing great things, or important things, or desired things, requires discipline and sacrifice. I hear him saying that he understands he's in charge of his life, he has choices to make, and he is not going to allow himself to be thrown off course. I'm reminded of a pre-med student who explained, "I don't use illegal drugs because those drugs destroy brain cells and I'm going to need all my brain cells in order to become a doctor." I see a woman paralyzed by spinal cord injury sustained in a car accident who faithfully does her physical therapy exercises every day for 2 years. Some of you know this woman. Her name is Pat Ammon. Every day for 2 years, she does these exercises so that at the end of 2 years, she can move her arms a little bit. Her legs are still non-responsive. Her fingers and hands can barely move. And I think to myself how easy it would be for her to give up. But still, she keeps working and hoping. "I've heard of someone with an injury like mine who in 6 years was able to walk again," she tells me. That is her goal. And with the slowest, most incremental progress, she presses on toward the prize. I think of a musician finding time every day to practice, a vocalist who always does warm-up exercises before singing, even though they might be boring or tedious or time-consuming, because that's the way to preserve and strengthen his voice, which he uses in service and praise of God. I hear the words of Albert Einstein, who said, "I know quite certainly that I myself have no special talent." It's Albert Einstein. No special talent. It's curiosity, obsession, and dogged endurance combined with self-criticism that have brought to me my ideas. I like the way Eugene Peterson renders these few sentences from the end of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. "We've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You are after one that is gold eternally." I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Paul's saying, let's not mess around with this being a Christian thing. Let's really do it. Let's not just enjoy God's love. Let's ask how God wants us to live and then do our absolute best to follow God's way each and every day. Motivated athletes provide a good metaphor for Paul because at their best, they shape everything in their lives around their goal. Not just how they train, but how they rest, how they think, what kind of risks they take or avoid taking, what they wear, how they stay healthy, what they eat. The preparations for the Winter Olympics in Italy offer a window into all the aspects that need to be considered. Thoughtful planning has been required not just for the competition venues, but for the practice arenas, the dormitories, the healthcare delivery system, the areas and opportunities for socializing and community life, and last but not least, the food service. Attention is given not just to one piece, but to the whole package. Did you know that in Turin, 3 dining halls for athletes are going to be open 24 hours a day, that cooks have been hired from literally all over the world so that every type of regional and ethnic cuisine can be prepared, and that every conceivable dietary consideration will be accommodated, whether it's gluten-free or vegan or high protein or something else? All being done so that the competitors can eat according to the regimen that will best support their performance. We Christians have our own equivalent of the athletic training table. As people who strive to live God's way so that we can be welcomed into and be part of building God's kingdom, we also need proper nourishment. And so we gather together around a table where the bread of God's love and the beverage of God's forgiveness is served. We gather to pray and listen for God's word. We gather to sing praise, to support and be encouraged by one another. We know that coming to this meal once is not enough to sustain us for a lifetime of service. And so we come week after week, month after month, over and over again, year after year, to break the bread, to be restored and refreshed by the cup, to be fed by God's word, to be inspired by the act of praising God together. This is one of the habits, one of the disciplines that enables us to keep our eye on the prize, to keep focused on our goal and to successfully reach that goal. Gathering around this table strengthens us for serving God at other tables, such as the table where homeless people are fed, or the table where strangers sit down with a willingness to become friends. Gathering around this table teaches us to trust in God's provision, to forgive as God has forgiven us, and to be generous, even in situations when our natural inclination might be to hoard or to close down or protect and defend. Gathering around this table helps us to learn that giving and receiving go hand in hand. We receive love and mercy at this table. We give love and mercy when we volunteer to make lunches or cook dinner for interfaith shelter guests. Beginning on February 25th, that's 20 days from today, and running for 2 weeks, we will have 12 to 14 people staying in our church who would otherwise be out on the streets. Our support helps them to look for work and for permanent housing. It's a group effort, requiring a large team of us to take turns preparing meals and staying here overnight to make sure that everything remains peaceful and safe. John Battelle is the captain of this effort, and we need players who are ready to be active and to put themselves on the line. We enjoy a grace-filled welcome at this table. Then we extend that same hospitality and openness to others when we join a Dinners for Seven group. Being part of a community takes training and practice and intentional effort, just like being an athlete does. Only a few of us, it turns out, have the natural gift of making friends quickly and getting along easily with others. The rest of us have to try and try and try again before we get the hang of it. And none of us can ever assume that we know all there is to know about being part of a supportive community. There's no guarantee that being part of a Dinners for Seven or Eight or Nine or Five or however many it turns out to be will change your life, but it might just be a significant part of your development into a strong and faithful follower of Jesus, capable of running all the way to the finish line. To take part in those dinner groups, you can leave your name and contact information on the bright green piece of paper in your program. The other side also reviews and repeats everything I've said about the interfaith shelter. This could be turned in via the offering plate or mailed to the church office. We receive food for the spirit at this table. We give food for the body when we donate canned goods for the tables of those with limited resources. At this table, we discover the miracle that God can feed everyone. And then around our social hall table, we discover that we can help make the miracle when we donate something to the soup pot or to the common meal. As we practice living with open hands and open hearts here at church, gradually we become more and more able to live that way in the world and in our homes. What we experience at the training table does indeed shape our lives. I don't normally follow football players. I can't claim to know anything about the game, but I understand that there is a player on the Seattle team who grew up in a family of 18 children. He describes the family dinner table this way. The idea was to get to the table as fast as you could and eat as much as you could as fast as you could. It seems to me there must be a relationship between that kind of experience and years later a coach commenting that Marquand Manuel appreciates everything, works hard for everything, and doesn't expect to be given anything. At this table, the idea is to make room for all, to open ourselves to receive God's gifts, and to apply ourselves to living as God would have us live. We don't ever want to lose sight of the main thing, which is that one day, God will be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And so with that goal in mind, we sing and we pray together. Dear God, in your presence now, we remember that a wise preacher once said, "All of the athletic training in the world is of no value until it is put to constructive use." We're grateful O God, for the opportunities we have had to study Scripture and to worship You. We ask that You help us now to put our spiritual training to good use in the service of Your kingdom, either through ministries and programs here at our church or through our work and volunteer activities in the wider world. May our preparations for the Interfaith Shelter Network result in the kind of hospitality that helps people draw closer to You. May our efforts to build relationships with one another help us to understand and follow You more faithfully. May we always be mindful of the needs of others, dear God, and always willing to respond as we are able. You, Lord, are the source of all good gifts and the reward of everything we do. And so with Jesus, we fervently pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.